This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
As always, we always begin chatting about the Holy Father's Wednesday audience. What was the main focus of Pope Francis's audience this morning?
Well, John, these last weeks, the catechesis has focused on discernment. And today, Pope Francis talked about the importance of prayer as what he called an indispensable part of discernment and an aid to spiritual discernment. He looked to the lives of the saints and he said that really the secret of their prayer lives is that constant connection in prayer and discernment. And it's that breeds a familiarity with God and a confidence in God. And that then grows in their hearts and makes it even easier to recognize then what is pleasing to God, what God wants from each one of us. He said that in order to discern, really the whole self has to be involved. And that's because humans are more than what he called reasoning machines. He said that emotions and affections are also an important part of discerning God's will and in doing God's will. And then Pope Francis went on to say that discernment is a regular part of life and that one should know that it's not always certain. In fact, he looked at St. Paul, who talked about his frustration with the fact that he knew the right thing to do, but didn't always do it.
Sounds like all of us.
Isn't that the truth?
For
yes,
sure.
Exactly. Can relate to that for sure. Now, one tip that Pope Francis gave in looking, in moving through phases of discernment, he said, is to look for particular signs. So Pope Francis today looked at the story of the young rich man in Matthew's gospel and noted that he went away sad. He went away sad after Jesus had suggested giving up all that he had to follow him. And so the Pope pointed out that sadness and fear are actually signs of distance from God. But on the other hand, joy is a sign of true encounter with Jesus. And so finally, John, today the Pope finished his catechesis with a prayer, asking that all would grow in the grace of living in a relationship of friendship with the Lord, specifically as a friend who speaks to another friend in prayer, John.
It's a very important message by the Holy Father and a reminder of what the spiritual life is all about. I believe it was St. Mm-hmm. Thomas Aquinas who said the essence of the spiritual life is friendship with God. So he mm-hmm. is reminding us, the Holy Father is, of that importance of that personal relationship.
Exactly. In fact, he spoke a lot today using the words intimacy and affection, and about how those are two key components that absolutely cannot be separated in one's life of spirituality and one's life of prayer and discernment. And today, the Pope finished the audience with a request for prayers for those in Ukraine. He spoke about Ukraine as a martyred country and asked for all present to especially pray. But John, he also prayed for the local Vatican Gendarmerie Corps. Now, this is the corps that's in charge of security for the Vatican properties, extraterritorial properties, etc. And that is because their feast day is coming up tomorrow on the 29th of September, the feast of the archangels Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And so he asked for prayers and blessings on the Vatican Gendarmerie Corps and for all that they do. And he prayed especially on this great feast of tomorrow that it will bring about in each one a sincere adherence to divine plans. So right back to that important topic and theme of discerning divine plans in our lives, John.
Meanwhile, big news out of Italy with your historic election in Italy as Giorgia Meloni's party has won just the other day. It's a big story, not only in Europe, but also here in the U.S. It's gathered a lot of attention.
for a lot of reasons, including that she will be our first female prime minister. And to back up a little bit, John, so I reported when our prime minister, Mario Draghi, turned in his resignation and this snap election was set for September 25th. So we were all looking, our eyes were all on that date because this election marks the 70th government that Italy has had since the Second World War. And just as projected, the Brothers of Italy party won big. And so the way it works here in Italy is that whichever party wins the majority, they would be in charge of the naming the prime minister. Since Giorgia Meloni is the head of that party, it's expected that she will indeed be our next prime minister. So her party, the Brothers of Italy, received 44% of the vote. And the next runner up, which is the center left coalition, received just 26%. So this is considered a very clear win. And her party is considers itself mainstream conservative. And so she is being called the nation's most conservative prime minister since the end of World War II. And when we're talking about conservative, she has a lot of concerns about preserving the family, family's rights, defending national rights of Italy within the EU. And she has shown support for Ukraine throughout the invasion time. She has also been a very vocal opponent of the EU's recommendation to suspend the 7.5 billion euro to Hungary because of Hungary's pro-family policies. So these are the things that she's been talking about in her platform and that we can expect to hear from her. Now, her background, she was raised by a single mom in a working class area of Rome. Her father abandoned her mom and her when she was just a little girl. She's young. She's 45. She entered politics when she was only 15. She won her first local election. She was only 21. And she became a minister in the Italian government at 31. So she has been talking since this win has come across, John. She's been talking about the importance of keeping the trust of Italy, those who voted for her. She has been talking about focusing on what unites the people rather than divides. Now, interestingly, there was a very low voter turnout for this particular election. Only about 64% of eligible voters came out. And she has said that that is a sign that Italians have given up on the system, that they don't trust. She says it's time, it's necessary to rebuild that relationship between the state and the citizen. And in the meantime, over in the U.S., the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, has said that Washington is ready to cooperate with the new government and that they especially want to work on shared goals, things like supporting a free and independent Ukraine, respecting human rights, and building a sustainable economic future. So the U.S. says Italy is a very strong ally, a strong democracy, and a valued partner. So this has been a very exciting few days, you could imagine, John.
No question about it. And like I said, the big story there in Italy and also a lot of attention here in this country. Some liberal folks not real happy about that news of Giorgia Meloni actually winning, calling her, things like fascist, and, trying to tie her into Mussolini, which I think is outrageous.
Right, exactly. We've certainly heard that a lot. And there's definitely a lot of fear-mongering. But the reality is that the things that she is trying to conserve are things that as Catholics who would want to conserve the traditional family, for example, we would certainly stand behind. And also, she has talked a lot about even things like women and supporting women. Here she will be the first female prime minister, but she also says that she believes that women should not be just given roles because of trying to create an a parity in government, you know, that they should earn these things through merit. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see her in action. That's for sure.
Well, Ashley, I have seen us, I heard a side of you. I never thought of you as a political analyst, but great job.
There you go.
Very good. Switching gears, the Diocese of Rome is relaunching its wine tasting series. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, this may be a good reason to come on over, John. You know, we're always trying to give you reasons to
Vino.
Come visit. That's right. There you go. So this is something that is coming out of the Vicariate of Rome or the Diocese of Rome, and it's from the Office of Pastoral Care of Leisure Time, Tourism, and Sport. And it's going to kick off throughout October and November. It's a four-part wine tasting series. Now, I'll read to you the description that they've given here. From the Song of Songs to the Wedding at Cana, from the Benedictine Monks of Burgundy to the Birth of Barolo, from wine as an emblem of rural life to a symbol of celebration, a journey between aromas and flavors, anecdotes and curiosities. So it sounds very interesting. And these four lessons will be based on scripture, on history and art. And it will be led by Marco Kuhm. He's a theologian and a sommelier from the European School of Sommelier. And when it kicks off on the 6th of October, they're going to focus on a verse from the book of Isaiah. The Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of fat things. And they're going to study the Abbey of Cluny and its symbolic importance in European winemaking history. And then in the next edition, on the 20th, they are going to focus on the Gospel of John. I am the vine, you are the branches. But they're going to study the figure of Marquise Juliette Colbert, who was a French woman. She's a servant of God. She was a philanthropist who moved to the Italian Piemonte area, and she was known for her works of charity. She founded two religious orders, but she also developed the modern form of Barolo wine from Piedmont. And Barolo is considered one of the finest Italian reds that one can find these days. She did it after she overhauled her husband's family estate. So these are the sorts of things that people will look forward to who participate in this. Is a fee of €150. And in addition to all of the learnings and wine tastings, John, you get your own personalized ceramic coaster. So there you go.
Sounds fabulous. it'll be a lot of vino there in Rome. Final minute, Ashley. You have a pilgrimage coming up tomorrow at Monte Sant'Angelo on the Feast of St. Michael and the Archangels. Briefly, what's going on?
Yes, indeed. A couple of relevant radio listeners. I will be taking them to Monte Sant'Angelo, which is where the sanctuary dedicated to St. Michael is, where St. Michael first appeared in the 5th century. And sure enough, this is the only sanctuary, the only altar that has been consecrated by angelic hands, by non-human hands, because it was consecrated by Saint Michael himself. So tomorrow there's going to be a grand procession through the town commemorating the feast day, and also they will also bring out the sword of Saint Michael. So it's a gold sword that represents his second apparition in the area where he appeared holding a fiery sword. And this sanctuary is part of what's called the Sword of St. Michael. So that line of sanctuaries dedicated to St. Michael that goes all the way from Ireland down through Sicily, that makes a perfect line, and it forms what looks like St. Michael's sword. So I am so looking forward to being there. I will bring your prayers and the prayers of all of our Relevant Radio family with me when I go, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Noronha every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.